Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday. George Watkins here, ready to rock and roll. Now, I know I'm not supposed to be talking like that, but I was a teenager once, and the vernacular now is let's just get going. Okay. I am blessed to have you in my life with me on this broadcast today, because I want to share out of my revelatory side of me some things I believe God's doing in this hour. We're going to spend a little time in Acts, the second chapter. Now, people that have been raised Pentecost, that's kind of ground zero. You know, that's the main verse we know, or we trust in and read and memorize. But many of you are watching that may not come out of that background. So I want to talk a little bit about Acts 2. But I'm going to tie it together with our current situation that we're in now. Now, Acts 2 is the day of Pentecost, but it's 50 days. There's a 50-day period when the day of Pentecost came, from Passover to Pentecost. And in that time, some things took place that are very important for us to remember in this situation we're in today. If you listen to the news, if you turn your phone on and picked up, your news reports or some conversation from people, there's a lot of bad news out there and a lot of things that are serious, some serious stuff happening. We are very close to some world calamities. We're very close to financial collapse. We're close. They tell us, the experts tell us, we're close to, wars and trouble and all kinds of problems. Well, the disciples had just come through a 3.5-year period where they were really in the center, the epicenter of one of the greatest moves of God that had happened in Israel in 400 years. Of course, we know it to be the Messiah had come. To them and to many people following, it could have been the thought that this was going to be a great leader that was going to deliver us from Rome, because Rome had their iron boot on the neck of the Jews and the Israel, the Jewish people especially. Now, the atmosphere then, well, look at Judas. He thought that was the case, thought that was going to be his position. And the disciples were a little fuzzy. I mean, they knew some things and they didn't know a lot of things. But, of course, Peter confessed at one point, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was a revelation. He didn't conjure that up on his own. God gave that to him. But take a snapshot of what they had gone through. Then they came to the crucifixion. The soldiers came, captured Jesus. Peter tried to cut the ear off, or the head off, and they got the ear of a guy, one of the soldiers. Jesus put the ear back on, so forth. Then they went through the courts and the trial and the crucifixion and so forth. They scattered. They were hiding out because the Jews took Jesus out. They were going to take the disciples out. They were going to wipe the whole crowd out because they had been irritating them and poking them in the eye for 3.5 years. Well, Jesus took them aside, and for 40 days after the resurrection, he taught them about the kingdom of God. So now these disciples have been taught the word of God. They've got something in them now beside speculation and theory and suspicion. And they were fairly good students, I suppose, of Old Testament, where the Messiah was going to come someday, and could this be the one? But Jesus nailed it down. So now, after he ascends in the last chapter of Luke and so forth, as he ascends, he sends them into the whole world in Mark 16:15. He sends them into the whole world. But he told them before that to go and tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power. Now, I don't know if they connected that to the day of Pentecost, but this 10 days fills out the 50. So now this group of people that started out with hundreds is now down to 120. Sounds like a typical prayer meeting. The longer you pray, the smaller the crowd gets. Well, that's another issue. So they are there now, and they have the army of Rome looking for them. They have the Jews looking for them. They are not respected. The whole movement that they thought was going to escalate into something wonderful, they had been feeding thousands just out of scraps of food. Can you imagine the economy that would be helped if Jesus had just turned into a food machine? Wow, he'd been more popular than some of the rock stars we know. Well, it didn't work out. Everything fell apart. Jesus taught them the way. Now they're waiting for the power. And it opens up in the second chapter, the first verse, and it says, when they were in the upper room, let me pick it up in the Amplified. I don't want to miss this little junction here. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, let's think about some of the things we've been confessing, praying, and declaring, and prophesying. There needs to be the fullness of time. And that's where the mystery, that's where the anxiety, that's where the worry comes. Lord, we prayed, why isn't it here? And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, now, Jesus said, go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued. Now, Jesus knew that Pentecost was the trigger, but the disciples didn't. So they had to walk through that 10 days of patience and consistency and perseverance and faithfulness and obedience, all those things that make us who we are. Isn't that great? Now, that's why we're so tough, because we have endured until the end. Well, scripture says, he that endureth till the end shall be saved. All right. Thank you, Jesus. I'm waiting for that salvation. Now, listen, I don't mean salvation of my soul and spirit. We're talking about rescue. All right. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. When suddenly, now there's a suddenly that I love to emphasize when I read that, God suddenly changes the course of events that have not happened yet, but they happen suddenly. When God speaks, when God arrives, when he attacks, when he downloads, it doesn't dribble in, it comes suddenly. A rushing, the sound as if a rushing mighty wind had come in and it filled the whole earth. Now I think I told you this before. I've been to Niagara Falls a few times. And as a young kid, we were a traveling troupe and we ended up in Tonawanda, New York, close to the falls. We went and did the whole tour. One of the tours they take you on, they put raincoats and hats on, and you walk along the cliff and then down under the falls, or at least a corner of it. And when you get down there, your sound decibels, you only have so much of a range that you can actually hear in. When you get down there, all the sound decibels are filled and you cannot hear your father shouting in your ear, which we tried. It's impossible. because the roar of the waterfall just, you know, yards away from you now. The mist is coming. I mean, it's a dramatic time and exciting for a kid, of course. When I read this, I think of the white noise and the trash noise and the world's noise that is just filling our ears with sound. We hear things and we have to deal with it. And if you're a stalwart faith person, you confess and you reject and you deny and you claim the promise. Okay, good. But it still comes. Every time we go or hang around anything, white noise and clutter comes to us. This sudden sound that came in the book of Acts is what God does when he comes into our presence. I'm not just talking about one time, obviously, you know, some one-time experience. I'm talking about when we experience God's presence in our life and when we enter into that secret place of the Most High. John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, he heard a voice behind him. And when he turned, he saw. There's something about the hearing first. And God knows how to get our hearing. And his voice, the voice of heaven, will overcome and fill your decibel sounds to where the sound of the world can't penetrate anymore. It's a reverse of what's been happening. I tell you that. And the voice of heaven comes in many ways. It comes in, well, in some cases, an audible voice. God spoke to me. Other cases, we're just in the presence of the Lord and we're overwhelmed with the emotion of God's presence. And all we can hear is his love to us and his voice in our ear. And then there's other times, and probably most often, where we soak ourselves in the Word of God and we hear and embrace the scriptures and the promises. They become living sound to us. And it fills our decibels up until the trash noise and the white noise and the garbage that comes out of the voice of the world is not filling our ears. And suddenly there was a voice, a sound from heaven, as a rushing and violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. That's the word God's given me today for you. As we open this Wednesday, the voice of God will fill all the sound range, and you will be able to only hear his promises and his love voice and his directive voice and his counsel voice and his encouragement voice and his attaboy voice and his direction voice. Yeah, to where you're not double-minded, where you got one ear tuned to the world and one ear tuned to heaven. Now, you're not hiding in a cave. You're not a recluse. You're not some kind of loner where you don't talk to anybody. No, you interact with the world, but the world doesn't interact with your emotions and spirit and mind and soul. You are the dominant one. And that's what God told us in Genesis 1 and Mark 16. He said, rule this thing, baby. Go out and dominate. Get this thing multiplied and filled. Well, that's Genesis. Mark, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely, you got it free, give it away free. Amen. Well, I love you guys. Thanks for a breakout Wednesday. I feel the anointing of Wednesday. And I'm listening to that sudden sound, boom, like a jet coming over. And all of a sudden, the sound barrier just wham. And everybody's looking up, trying to find the jet. Well, the voice of God's able to do that in our lives today and every day. Amen. Now, one more caveat here. Tying this together with us, we have been listening and watching a world in chaos. I believe we've got a suddenly coming, and it's going to change history. I believe we're in store, and we're probably into the beginning of this great awakening that the prophets are speaking about. So speak it, confess it, pray it, declare it, and enjoy this beginning that's going to bust in and break in and open up into a great awakening, a manifestation of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Well, I love you. I pray for you, especially if I know you're watching. So let me know that. Let me know if you're new to us, and drop your name down there so I can see it. And if God's nudging you to send us a gift, we receive it with thanksgiving. And bless you back multiplied times over. Amen. Well, until tomorrow morning, around the same time, we will be tuning in and talking God stuff. It's always good to see and hear what God's doing. Until then, be strong, stand in faith, and declare who you are to the world around you.